All right, we are holding on your test on the bays, 6 lines from the bottom. We started a discussion yesterday. The Gemara had said that if a person discovers while he's in the middle of the street that he's wearing clothing that's kilayim, chatnez, then he has to take it off. I covered abrius, doesn't matter. Covered abrius doesn't hold any water when it comes to the when it comes to a mitzvah. So we asked various questions on that, and so far we've established that first of all, this doesn't that it doesn't apply to a din d'rabbanan. It doesn't apply to a din d'rabbanan. So therefore, we said, for example, a kohen can walk through a beis hapras, which is d'rabbanan, where necessary for a covered of a person, for example, the covered of an avol. We said, by the same token, for example, when you have a kohen walking on top of coffins to go see a melech Yisrael, or according to the Rambam, also a melech goy. Then most coffins do have a space of a tefach between the body and the top of the coffin. So midaraisa, that's enough to block the trauma. It's only the drabbanan that goes there. So again, we set aside loisa says for covered abrius, which we said specifically means the loisa says of loisasu when it says don't disobey the chachamim. But that's, so therefore it's referring to dinim drabbanan, which the chachamim used the pasuk loisasu as the basis for these dinim, but the chacham override them themselves when it's a matter of covered abrius. In other words, we're saying normally, for example, these dinim would apply midrabanan, but when it's a matter of covered abrius, conflicts with that, then the chachamim say not to do that. We said you have the case of a lost object where in certain cases, your pasuk from returning it, for example, if it's beneath his dignity. So we said, because after all, the pasuk does say v'salamta, which implies that there are times you can do that. And we said, you can't actually learn from that, though. You can't learn a binyan out from that, because that's a matter of mammon, and you can't learn isur from mammon. Okay, so that's where we're holding that. 6 lines from the bottom of your test on the base. Tashma, we have a pasuk about a nazir that mentioned the pasuk said, the Pasuk mentions that a Nazir is not allowed to become Tamei Mes, of course. And the Pasuk mentions, for his father, for his mother, for his brother, for his sister, he can't become Tamei. Now, obviously, if you can't become Tamei Mes, it includes for them also. So you have a long Braisa, in Sifra that explains it phrase by phrase, or in Sifri, actually, that explains it phrase by phrase, and explains that each one of them were learning different dinim about even about that a mes mitzvah. If it's a mes mitzvah, he still has to become tamei. So even if he's a nazir and a kohen, etc. So now we're focusing on the last part of the braisa, which mentions the fourth relative, the ul achosoy, and for his sister. Ma tamabloima, what is that coming to teach us? So the case would be hareisha hoyaholach lishchet as pischay v'lomol aspenai. Suppose that a person is on his way to bring his Korban Pesach or to make a bris milah for his son. Now those are important mitzvahs. Those are both of them. In fact, if a person doesn't bring a Korban Pesach, then he's chayav koris. And milah also involves koris. It's not the father himself. is not on the hook for koris if he doesn't mal his son. Well, according to the Rambam writes that what it is actually if a person himself doesn't get mild, okay, if he doesn't get mild when he's a baby, then fine. When he's an adult, he's responsible to arrange it himself. If he doesn't, then he has kores pending over him for his entire life until he actually gets the bris milah. If he dies without bris milah, then at that point he gets kores.
Yeah, but the choice is at 8 days.
But if you didn't do it at eight days, and you have a mitzvah to do it afterwards.
I understand that
okay.
The father should be responsible.
The father should be responsible, but not to the extent of being a chayav kares. He is responsible. It's his mitzvah to do. He's a mevatel mitzvah something. Okay. Anyway, so the person is on his way to shecht his korban pesach or to make a bris for his son. Now Rashi says this is not really directly the previous parts again of the previous parts of the braisa. The Gemara is not quoting over here. Are talking about a nazir. who's also a Kohen Gadol, here we're kind of resetting. We're not saying we're talking about a Nazir who's a Kohen Gadol and is going to Shecht, his Korban Pesach, or make a bris for his son. We're just talking about a separate case. You have a person who's on his way to do his Korban Pesach, or Mala's son, the Shoma Shemes Loimes, and he hears that a close relative of his died, who he's supposed to be an Ovel for, Yochol Yachtavi Tama, you'd think that maybe he should go back and not do the Korban Pesach or the Mila, and he should become Tomei, Omar Talo Yatomei. So therefore, the Pasuk says, the Pasuk is saying that no, he should not become Tomei, since it is the time of shechting the Pesach. He already has the obligation of bringing the Korban Pesach, which involves Kares. So like this, if he were to become Tomei, he would lose out on that. But only in Yisrael, even Yisrael is not a Nazir, right? Tosfos questions, is that so? Or is it maybe a continuation? Is it talking about a Nazir? Is it talking about a Nazir who is also a Kohen or whatever and is also on top of that? Whatever. Tosfos gets into a bit about the pros and cons of that. Anyway, the point is, Rashi says, Pesach and Milah are very important mitzvahs. Even though they're both mitzvahs asay, they're the only two mitzvahs asay that involve Kares. All other cases of Kares involve Lois asay. Therefore, Lo Yitamei should not become Tamei. Rashi, by the way, brings another possibility that Lo Molas Bnei is actually going together with Korban Pesach. One way of explaining it is there are two different cases. One where on Erev Pesach he's on his way to bring his Korban Pesach, and the other where any time during the year he's on his way to Mal his son. Rashi brings another possibility. They may be going together. We know that the Torah tells us in next week's parasha that if a person has any males in his household, children or avodim kshanim, who don't have a bris milah, then he's obligated, he has to give them a bris milah. Without that, he can't bring a korban pesach. So therefore, so the other possibility is we're talking about both of them. We're talking about he has to do a bris milah on one of his avodim, for example, in order to be able to bring a korban pesach. Anyway, so we're saying lo yitamei. So he doesn't become tamei because those mitzvahs are more important than taking care of his dead relative. Yochol, now comes the reason what we're learning from the law chosid. Yochol, kashem she'ena metame lahem. So you would think then in that case, just like he's not metame to them, to his close relative, kach ena metame lames mitzvah. You would think maybe he shouldn't become tamei for a mes mitzvah as well. Tamad lama ul achosid. Therefore, the pasuk mentions his sister, implying la achosid ena metame. He doesn't become tamei for his sister. But he becomes Tomei if he finds a mes mitzvah, then he has to take care of that, even though it means he's going to be missing the milo or the pesach. So in other words, the same way as the earlier part of the Braisa does the same thing with each of the other relatives. When it says la'oviv, it means that a nazir doesn't become Tomei even for his father, but he does become Tomei for a mes mitzvah. A l'ima, even if he's a nazir and a kohen, where there's a double kedusha on him, still the same thing. Not for his mother, no, but a mes mitzvah, yes. And the same thing for each of the others. So now we're doing v'la'choseh. So the question is, there is an interesting point, by the way, that Achronim make, and a couple of Achronim make, the Torah Tzmima and his father-in-law talk about this. Usually, in Torah, the nekudas of this word, ul achosai, are a little unusual. Usually the word would be v'la achosai, like at the beginning of Parashat Emor, v'la achosai habsul akrev elam. Here it's ul achosai. So therefore, that leads the Gemara to Darshan, that we're talking, the word achos also, the word och and achos also means to join together. A brother and a sister, siblings are joined to each other. So therefore, the idea is even these mitzvahs, which join a person to Hashem, because we're saying without them, there's kares, where it's cut off from Hashem. So even Pesach and Milah are overridden, even ul achos, even the mitzvahs that would unite him with Hashem, such as Pesach and Milah, are overridden when it comes to a mitzvah. Anyway, the point is that the sort of question is, Amai, now why should a mes mitzvah override Pesach and Milah? Lema ein chochma vein tvona vein etzel v'negen Hashem. We should apply the rule that we said yesterday, that we said at the beginning of the sugya, that there's no wisdom or understanding or ideas against Hashem. Here, why is mes mitzvah an exception? The pashtus is because of kovod amesim. The pashtus is because of kovod abrich, not to leave the body unburied. Well, Kavod HaMes shouldn't apply when it's going against the mitzvah in the Torah, as we've been establishing. The answer is Shiny Hosn, Dechiv Ula Achoisei. The answer is precisely because it says Ula Achoisei, that means the Torah is telling us an exception. So again, the question is, V'ligma Mina. In that case, then why are we not learning a binyan out from that? And say, just like over there, Kavod HaBrias is Docha Mitzvah in the Torah, the same thing over here, the same thing everywhere else, the same way, for example, when you find shatnez in your clothes on the street.
For everything.
The answer is Sheval Tafta Shining. It's different when we're talking about a Sheval Tafta. Here the Torah is not telling you to go and do something, which is, it's telling you don't do the Pesach, don't do the Milah, because you have the Mitzvah. So that kind of thing is different. We even find that in some cases the Chachamim have the ability to tell us to not do a mitzvah in the Torah when it's a Sheval Tafta. For example, famously, you know, they tell us don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, even though Midaraisa, there's no exception. Don't take lulav on Sukkah, same idea. Now, Rashi asks the question. So we can't do a binyanav because here it's a shev bal tafi. You can't prove from that where a person, for example, is wearing kelayim, where he's doing a maaseh. Right. That's shev bal tafi. Say, don't do the Pesach, don't do the milah, because instead take care of the mes mitzvah. Now, Rashi asks the question, so what about the earlier part, what about the earlier parts of the Braisa, so the Kohen and the Nazir, where we're saying that they should become Tomei for the Mes Mitzvah. Now, they're actually being Oiker in the Mitzvah B'Yadayim. They're supposed to stay Tomei, and they're actually being told to become Tomei with the Mes. So how does that work? Because over here, it's Sheval Tate. A regular Yisrael has no Easter to become Tomei. Just over here, it's preventing him from bringing the meal over the from doing the meal over the Pesach. In the case of a Kohen or a Nazir or both, burying the body is actually being oiker the mitzvah of the Yadayim. He has a mitzvah, the nefesh mes lo yitama, and he's going and violating that. Rashi says the reason is because over there, to begin with, when the Torah says that a Kohen and a Nazir are not allowed to become tamei, to begin with, this exception is carved out in it. That when it comes to a mes mitzvah, that din does not apply. As opposed to over here, when it comes to Pesach and Milo, before when we were talking about Shabbat Aveda or whatever, it's not that, it is actually, there is a mitzvah, but you also have, then separately, you have something where the Torah says to make an exception to it. So that's the difference, in other words, that a Nazir, it's not that the Torah is telling the Nazir, don't become Tomei, but in the case of the Mes Mitzvah, we're going to make an exception. Rather, the Torah is saying, to begin with, the whole concept of a Nazir not becoming Tomei does not apply when there's a Mes Mitzvah. Okay, Tosfos discusses that quite a bit. We could say the same thing everywhere that the Torah is not just carving out an exception. The Torah is saying it doesn't apply here. It doesn't apply here to begin with. Okay, I mean there's a few. So Tosfos discusses back and forth that a little bit and gives a couple of possibilities. One is that again because one point that Tosfos makes is that even if we were talking about, not like Rashi, we're talking about he has all these kedushas, one on top of the other, Nazir and Kohen and Kohen Gadol, and he's going to do a Pesach and whatever, still the Torah is making an exception. So we see that there's a difference. That is a discussion that Tosfos has, but Tosfos says that there's a different point, and actually there is a girsa that you have some Gemaras that have a girsa over here that the difference is, the Gemara says, the reason why you can't learn from the Nazir and the Kohen is a different point, because the Nazir is in a way a lesser level of Kedusha because he can be Matu Neder, and then his Nazirus doesn't apply anymore. A Kohen is also a special case because the dinim of a Kohen only apply to Kohen. They don't apply. It's called a lav she'ena shava bakol. So that's different. It only applies to Kohenim as opposed to Pesach and Milah apply to everybody. So therefore, if we didn't have the pasuk v'la'achosei, ul'achosei, then we would say the person going for the Pesach or the Milah does have to continue with that rather than the Mes Mitzvah. But we're saying the reason why, so again, Rashi had pointed out why we can't learn from Kohen and Nazir, and Rashi said, even though it's kumvasei, and Rashi says because there's an exception carved out in the first place, Tosfos says that's not why, it's not because there's an exception carved out in the first place, it's because Nazir and Kohen are different than the usual case. Kilayim applies to everybody, Hashavah Saveda applies to everybody, but these, Kohen, the dinim of a Kohen, of course, only apply to a Kohen, and the dinim of a Nazir, in principle, they could apply to everybody, but he's able to be Matu Neder, so it's not just a strong Kedusha in that sense. Okay. All right. So now the Gemara. So that's that. Then. So we've seen that whenever there's a mitzvah, we see like this. There is a concept that we say in chokhma vein eitz vein tvulin lagun Hashem, but we've qualified it. We've said first of all that it only applies to dinim d'araisa, not d'rabbanon. So it means, for example, if a person discovers that he's wearing tefillah in d'rabbanon in the street, he doesn't have to take it off in the street. He can wait till he gets home. Second of all, we're saying even within d'araisa, it depends. Are we talking? Does the Torah itself tell us by the word behisalamto or the word ulachosei that there's an exception over here, or is it in the case of the Kohen and the Nazir that the exception is built in to begin with? All right, onward. Unrelated popular bias. So the Papa asks a buyer a question. The reason why we're bringing in a question, which leads us to a story, where that story relates back to what we were saying about tearing clothing off somebody in the street when they're not supposed to be wearing it. So unrelated popular bias. My shnorishonim the isrichish lahun nisa. Why? What's the difference that when it comes to the earlier generations, that nisim would happen to them, or my the isrichish means that would happen. And why is it by us in our times that nisim don't happen to us? Open nisim, that is. And Rapapa continues, if you're going to say it's because we don't learn Torah as much as they did, on the contrary, in the times of Rabbi Yehuda, which is the previous generation, all of their learning, all of their focus in learning was in Seder Nezikin. They didn't really focus so much on the other Sedarim. Rashi explains mainly they would focus on the three Bavas. And there's a few places, including in Torah or in Mikates, where the Rabbeim talk about that why indeed did they focus on Nezikin. And the reason is basically because Nezikin represents the idea of damages, Baruchnius, it refers to the damage that the Klippos bring about in our world, and therefore he's focusing on that in order to fix up that issue and then save Mitzvot of Kedusha from them. Anyway, Va'anan and Rapapa says, on the other hand, in our times, Kamasnin and Shita Sidri, we learn all six Dorim of Mishnayos. Not just Nezikin. And another example, we have a Moti of Yehuda Ba'uktin, another example to show that we learn more and we learn on a deeper level than they did in Rabbi Yehuda's times, for example, is that when Rabbi Yehuda would reach in Masechta Uktin, a Mishnah, Ha'isha Shekeveshet Yerech B'Kedera, a woman who is pickling or pressing out vegetables in a pot. It's actually is not a mission in Uktin, that's actually a mission in Taris, but it talks about a topic that relates to Masechta Uktin. Masechta Uktin is the last Masechta of Mishnayos in Seder Taris, and it mostly talks about dinim having to do with stems and things of fruits. In Chulin, there's a long sugya about the concept of yodos not only a food can become tame, but also the stems or leaves or whatever that are attached to it when they're used as a handle for the food, like you eat certain fruits, you hold them by you eat an apple, for example, the stem is a useful thing to pick up the apple with, so therefore it's makabel tuma along with the apple. So that kind of concept is called yodos, and the Sefer Uktin talks about them. So you have a mission over there that mentions where a woman is pickling or pressing out vegetables in a pot. But Amrilo, others say when Rabbi Yehuda reached, and this one is an actual Mishnah in Uktin, Zaysim Shekovshan B'Tarpeyan Tahorin, olives that you pickled them or pressed them out together with their leaves, then the leaves are Tahor. The point being, Rashi says over here that if you pickle the olive together with the leaf, then the leaves are not a yad anymore because now they become soft. You can't really use them to pick up the olive anymore. Then you just put it in order to look nice in the jar.
So then
the leaf would not be makabel tumah or transmit tumah, right? Omar. So when Rabbi Yehuda would learn such mishnayos, he would say havayas the Rav Shmuel kachazina hafa. I see over here the kind of difficult discussions of Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel were Rabbi Yehuda's rebbes. So he's saying, in other words, look at this. These Mishnayos are very, very tough to understand why these dinim should be the way they are. Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora, is saying that I have a hard time understanding these Mishnayos. They're as difficult to me as the discussions of Rav and Shmuel on different places in Shas. And yet, says Rav Papa, V'anan komas nitin b'uktin t'leisim mesivta. On the other hand, we in our times, we learn uktin with 13 mesivtas. What does that mean? Rashi says, in other words, we have 13 different sources with which we learn everything, including the Masechta Uktin. For example, you have the Mishnayos, and you have Mishnayos, and you have various collections of Braises. Not all of them, but in Republic time, they had Mishnayos, and they had many different collections of Braises. So some of them we have the Tosefta, for example. But we have, in addition, they had other collections of Braises that were collected by various late Tanoim, and altogether they had 13 of them. Different explanation, I think Rashi says elsewhere, is that 13 mesivkas means they have 13 different yeshivas. Actually, Tosfos says over here that it means there were 13 different yeshivas where they were learning even Masechta Uktzin, as opposed to, again, in Rabbi Yehuda's time, where it was very difficult for them to realize because it wasn't something that they were Oisik in regularly. So we see, in other words, Rapapa says, in terms of learning Torah, we're greater than Rabbi Yehuda's generation. And yet, the Ilu Rabbi Yehuda, Kiyav Sholif Chad Mesoneh, on the other hand, let's look at what happened with Nisim. When Rabbi Yehuda was going to fast and daven for rain, and he would take off even one shoe, because on fast for rain, you don't wear shoes, just like on Tisha B'Av, so he would take off one shoe off the mitra, and right away rain would start coming. We were troubling ourselves, we're fasting, we're davening, and whatever. And we're screaming out to Hashem for rain. And nobody pays any attention. So what's the difference? What are we doing wrong compared to Rabbi Yehuda's generation that they had that Hashem would listen to their tefillos right away and do nisim for them and us not? Compared to Rabbi Yehuda's generation, which is the previous generation. Omalei, so Abaya answers him. The difference is kamai have a komasri nafshay rakdushas Hashem. The difference is in the earlier generations they were moiser nefesh for the kedusha for kiddush Hashem.
Neither have the
best amikdash. Right. Anan boy masrin and nafshin akdushas Hashem. On the other hand, in our times we don't have that kind of mesirat nefesh. Now he's not talking about mesirat nefesh where a goy says, you know, do this avera or we're going to kill you, because you didn't have that. You didn't really have that in Rabbi Yehuda's times, at least not in Babel, and you didn't have that in Abaya's time either. So he's not talking about that kind of mesirat nefesh. He's talking about the kind of mesirat nefesh that involves. Well, the Gemara is going to give us an example where a person does something without worrying about what the possible consequences are going to be to him. He does lavoid l'mayla mitam badak. So ki hod Rav Ada ba'Ava, as we have the example of Rav Ada ba'Ava, chaz yilahi kusis, he saw a certain goita walking in the street, to have a slavisha karbalta b'shuka. She was wearing a karbalta in the street. What is a karbalta? Rashi just says it means some kind of important garment. And Rashi brings a pasuk in Daniel that refers to it. So there's a few possibilities. One is the word karbalta, basically, the word karbalta literally means the comb of a rooster, on a rooster's head. And you notice when you do kaparis, for example, you have the roosters, and I think the hens also, whatever, have this little red thing on their head called a comb. The word karbalta literally means that. So therefore, so one possibility is that it was a red garment, which is priestly stick for a Jewish woman to wear because it attracts attention. A related idea that some of the Mephoshim say is it was some kind of fancy headdress that, again, it's not appropriate for a Jewish woman to be wearing in the street because it draws too much attention. It's following in the ways of the Goyim. Well, it's also following in the ways of the Goyim because they wear such clothing, whatever. Anyway, so he saw this woman walking in the street wearing such a garment. Sover de Bas Yisrael, he mistakenly thought that she was a Jewish woman. If she's a Jewish woman, she has no business wearing it. Kom kare mina. So he went and ripped it off her. This is the connection which we had before. And actually, there is rip off the chatness in the street. And in fact, there is an explanation from one of the Gaonim, Reb Tzemach Gaon, the Beis Yosef also brings it on the tour, that actually another possibility, what's wrong with the karbalta, is the chatness. It's known to have chatness in it. So therefore, it directly relates to what we were saying before. He thought she was a Jewish woman, so he ripped it off her, because we said before that if you're wearing shatnez in the street, you have to rip it off. A glai milsa de kusis, then it turned out that she's a goita. So now he had no business ripping it off her, because she's allowed to wear such a thing.
Which is a goita.
Of course, it's a goita, yeah. So she took him to court, and they made him pay 400 zuz for her public humiliation. It's a huge, millions, but it's a large amount of money. Almost, I mean, to think of it in perspective, the average, an average day worker in those days would typically make 4 zuzim. So you could think 4 zuzim maybe is the equivalent maybe $100 nowadays.
400 is a
year. So 400 would be 100 times that, so it'd be $10,000, I'll say. I mean, the purchasing power of money isn't exactly now the same now as it was then, so I don't know if it's directly comparable, but whatever, it was a substantial amount of money. Okay. Amar la mashmeich, so he asks her, what's your name? Omrele Mosun, she says, my name is Mosun. Omrele, he says to her, Mosun Mosun, Avameh Zuz Shavya. Mosun Mosun, it is worth 400 Zuz. What does that mean? Rashi explains that there's like a double play on words over here. The word Mosun was her actual name, but the word Mosun is also similar to the word Mosun, which in Aramaic means 200. So Mawson, Mawson. So because your name is very, your name is very appropriate. Your name caused it. That in fact, I lost twice 200 zuz, but twice the value of your name. So that's the point. In other words, okay, that's the point that we're saying that they had Mesiras Nefesh. He didn't think twice. He sees something that's being done wrong. At least he thought it was being done wrong because he thought she was a Jewish woman. And forget the consequences, the full steam ahead, as they say, and then it turns out, okay, in this case, it turns out that she was a Goyza, but had she been a Jewish woman, then he would have been right in doing that. Hi, it's embarrassing, Republic, it doesn't matter. Ain't Chochma, ain't Shvona, ain't Yitzchon,
like Asha. How do you assault people and force them to do mitzvahs that they don't want to do?
To what extent you can, I mean, that's, you know, the Gemara is saying already, Rapapa is saying we don't have the Mesiras Nefesh to do that. Can you? I mean, in principle, based on what Rabbi Adabar Ava is saying over here, where appropriate, then yes. It depends. First of all, again, it depends whether we're talking about Mitzvah Saseh versus Mitzvah Loisaseh. And by the way, yes, as far as Mitzvah Saseh, there is a concept that says that if a person doesn't want to do a Mitzvah Saseh, a person doesn't want to eat matzah on Pesach, for example, there is a concept that talks about, and in some places in the Gemara, Makin Oyster Achikate Tenachshin, based in can beat him and force him to eat matzah.
Yeah.
What do you mean the Shirach Hafshis? A person has the Shirach Hafshis, but based in is, you could say the same thing. A person has the Shirach Hafshis to kill, but based in still has a responsibility to execute him if he does, right?
Killing is really
big. Okay, a person has Bechira Chofshis.
Okay.
The person has Bechira Chofshis not to break Shabbos. But if he does, then Beis Din is obligated to execute him. Come on, Bechira Chofshis doesn't mean there aren't consequences for action. Anyway, over here we're talking about, again, we're talking about that, of course, as far as he knew, she's being over on a loisa sejaraisa of Kershatnes, or that she's being over on Sneos by wearing the flashy red thing or whatever. So again, if she had been a Jewish woman, he would have been correct in that. Because she was a Goyza, then it turned out he had to pay for it. So again, one explanation is that Mosun refers to Mosun, 200. So your name, so I feel like this cost me twice the value of your name, 400. The other explanation, it actually says, is Mosun also means Meloshin Hamtana, waiting and delaying. If I had been more patient, if I had first asked, what you do on Mosun, are you Jewish? Then I would have saved myself 400 zuz. But the principle is still valid.
That see a man with a yarmulke wearing kilayim,
then
to come and rip
then
it off.
If it is kilayim d'oraisa, and the Rosh also adds, if he knows that it's kilayim, meaning, for example, let's say it's a kind of garment that everybody knows contains kilayim, then yes, we've learned before, that's at the beginning of the sugya. You are obligated to go over to him in the street and rip it off, because he's being over an iser d'oraisa. Yeah, he go to jail. So, yeah. That's what it means. That's what it means to have Mesiras Nefesh for Hashem. Yeah. Okay. Continuing the topic, the Gemara is there actually a related topic about Chachamim doing unusual things in order to help with Yiddishkeit. Rav Gidol have a rogel to have a ka'ozel v'yosef ashar in the tevila. Rav Gidol would regularly go and sit by the gates of the place where women would go to Toivol. Why is he sitting over there? Omalahu, hachi tvilu, hachi tvilu. And give them instructions. This is how you should travel. This is the position you should be standing in. This is what, whatever. Omalahu, Rabbanan. So Rabbanan asked Rav Gidol, loy komistifi ma'am yetzahara. Aren't you worried about the yetzahara? That you're being so involved with the women. You're going to have machshavas zaris. You're going to have hirhurim. Omalahu, he says to them, for me, it's not a problem. Damyan ba'apoy ki kaki chivri. To me they appear like white geese. In other words, I don't have any hirhurim. Obviously, this isn't for everybody. This is something for somebody on Rav Gidol's level, but for a tzaddik like Rav Gidol. But we see also, in other words, that he would do something out of the ordinary in order to help with mitzvah, so that, to make sure that the mitzvah is being accomplished properly. A similar example. Rav Yechanan have a rogel to have a ka'ozel v'yosef asharit tefila. Rav Yechanan used to regularly go and sit by the gates of the local mikveh where the women would go to tovel. Omar, so he said, the reason why I'm sitting over here is kisalkan b'nois Yisrael v'asyan mitzvila, when the Jewish women come up from toveling, misakwan bi, they should look at me, v'nevelu zara d'shpiri kavosi, they should end up having children who are as beautiful as me. And in Bava Metzia, tells the story also, he says, and also as knowledgeable in Torah as me. Rav Yechanan, the Gemara tells us in Bava Metzia, was exceptionally handsome. His beauty was a semblance of other Marishans, no less. So therefore, and we know that in general, we know that whatever a couple sees or has in mind when they're having relations affects the baby very much. That's the basis, for example, of the whole thing with Yaakov, with the animals, with the sticks and whatever, where they see a stick of a certain pattern or whatever, and they have babies of that pattern. So therefore, like this, they should see me, and this way they'll have in mind when it'll be in her mind when she's having relations, etc. What would she see with Yaakov and the sticks? Right, he'd peel the sticks in a certain pattern, and the sheep would give birth to babies in that pattern. So you see, there's the concept that's mentioned. The Medrash mentions it on the Pasuk over there. It discusses a couple of cases where we see that. But here also, the idea is that this way they should see him. And in fact, by the way, in Shulchan Aruch it says it's very important that after a woman comes out of the mikveh, the first thing or the first person that she should see is someone that's tahor. It describes in Shulchan Aruch. Let's say, for example, the woman comes out of the mikveh, and the first thing she happens to see is, let's say, a dog or a goiter or whatever, she should go and tovel again. So therefore, so over here, Rabbi Yochanan is sitting over there, this way the first thing they see is him. The Mishra lady, right, I'm counting them out for that, yeah. Okay. So the Chum say to him, aren't you concerned about an Ein Hara? You're sitting over there and putting yourself on display. He says to them, no. Anomi Zara de Yosef Kasina, I am descended from Shevet Yosef, where Ayin Hara is not effective against Shevet Yosef. Now, it could mean that literally he may have had a family Kabbalah that he's actually descended from Shevet Yosef. You know, even nowadays you have rare people that have a family tradition and a family tree and whatever that traces them back. But the other possibility is
Yosef was punished for that.
Who said Yosef was punished?
Yosef. Because he was arranging and trimming his hair.
That's something else. That's not what we're talking about. Rabbi Yochanan is not sitting over there arranging his hair. Rabbi Yochanan is sitting over there that they should see him, and he's saying he's not concerned about an Ayin Hara because Yosef is immune to Ayin Hara. Either it means that literally he's from Shevet Yosef, or it means to a certain extent all the Jewish people can be called after the name of Yosef, because it says, since Yosef sustained and kept everybody alive during the famine, then the whole Jewish people can be called by his name. It talks about him in various places in Kabbalah, that even though we learned before, Ein Koren Ovis Elul Shlosha, that only Avraham and Yaakov are called Ovis to the Jewish people, but to a limited extent Yosef is also kind of like a father of the whole Jewish people. We talk about the three Raglei Merkava, and to a limited extent, Yosef is like an outgrowth of one of them. Anyway, the point is that so I'm from the descendants of Yosef, so the Ayin Hara is not effective on them. Gichtiv ben poras Yosef ben poras aliyah. You know, it says in the bracha to Yosef, a fruitful son is Yosef, a fruitful son ali oyin. Literally means on the wellspring or whatever, but of Amar Babo, I'll take you Ale Ayin, Ale Oile Ayin, not Ale Ayin, but Oile Ayin, they go above the Ayin Hara. And one reason is, it says in the Medrash, the reason is because Yosef controlled his eyes when it came to the story of Potiphar's wife. He wouldn't look at her. Therefore, he has this hope that his children and his descendants are immune to Ayin Hara. Rabbi Yosef Bechanina Omer Mechacha, Rabbi Yosef, actually the Gemara mentions this at the end of the year. Rabbi Yosef of Chanina said, Omer Mechacha, he says, there's a different source for it. Earlier, when Yaakov was giving the bracha to Ephraim and Manasseh, he says, V'yidgu l'oroi b'karev ha'aretz, may they be like fish and multiply in the midst of the land, meaning, ma dogim shavayam mayim machasin aleihem, just like fish in the sea are covered by the water, v'ein ayin hara shalatis behem, and therefore ayin hara is not effective against them, because they're covered up, they're part of Almadis Kasia. The same way the descendants of Yosef, Ayin Hara is not effective against them. The Iboyis Tehma, or another possibility, you can say, why indeed is Yosef immune to the Ayin Hara? Because Ayin Shalei Rotsa Lozun Mimasha Ena Shalei, the eye of Yosef, which he did not want to enjoy what doesn't belong to him. Potiphar's wife doesn't belong to him. She's Potiphar's wife. Therefore, Ayin Hara Shalei Tisbari. So his chus, therefore, is that Ayin Hara is not effective against him and his descendants. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, I'm not worried about the Ayin Hara because I'm from Shevet Yosef, either literally biologically or metaphorically because all the Jewish people are descendants of Yosef. The Bach over here points out an interesting thing on the side. By Rabbi Gidol, the Chachamim are saying to him, aren't you worried about Yetzihara? Why by Rabbi Yochanan are they not asking him, but is he not worried about Yetzihara? And instead they focus on Ayin Hara. The difference is, so Agoy Tabach says, first of all, because So first of all, by Rabbi Yochanan, the women are actually looking at him. By Rabbi Gidol, the point is not that they're looking at him. The point is he's showing them how to tovel. So therefore, by Rabbi Yochanan, they're saying there's more concern of Ayin Hara. And why don't they mention about the concern about Machshavas Zaris is because we find elsewhere in the Gemara. We have the famous story in Baba Kama where Rabbi Yochanan had very long eyelashes. So therefore, he couldn't see at a distance anyway. So therefore, he could be sitting over there, and he's not going to be seeing them. He's not going to have ear or him, because anyway, his eyelashes are covering his eyes. So the only concern is that Yetzer Hara, and he tells them that's not a concern. Different explanation also that some of the Mepharshim say is Rav Gidol has to be right there, because he has to show them how to travel. So you have to be close to them, as opposed to Rav Yochanan just needs that they should see him when they're coming out of the Tevila. He doesn't have to sit quite so close for them to be right there and for him to be having ear or him. Right. Okay. Mishnah says, Noshim va'avodim uktanim p'turim b'krishma. Women and avodim, avodim k'tanim that is, and children are potter from krishma. Because it's a mitzvah sefer shazman grama, and as usual, we know women are potter from them, and whatever mitzvahs women are potter from, avodim k'tanim are potter from. As far as children, Rashi says we're talking about even a katan shehigia l'chinuch. Now we know when it comes to k'tanim, we know on a daraisa level, there's no concept that children are chayiv in mitzvahs at all. It only becomes when they're bar bas mitzvah and develop shtei tzairus that they become chayiv on their own. Midrabanan, you have the concept of chinuch. Rashi says over there, even if the child is of the age of chinuch, the chachamim did not require his father to be mechanechim in krishna. Why? Because Rashi says, because the father isn't always around in the house when it's time for krishna. The fathers are working late or whatever, and they're not necessarily home to be mechanech the kid in saying krishna at the right time. Tosfos doesn't like that. Tosfos doesn't like that. In fact, you have a Gemara in Sukkah that Tosfos quotes that says that as soon as a kid learns how to speak, you teach him Torah Tziva and the first pasuk of Krishma. So what do you mean you have no chiyuv of chinuch on a kid even when he's of the age of chinuch? So Tosfos says that no, our Mishnah is talking about a kid younger than the age of chinuch. Each mitzvah has its own age of chinuch, when the kid is old enough to be able to do it. Shema is one age, sukkah is another, tefillin is another, etc. So therefore, Tosfos says, here we're talking about where the child is below the age of chinuch. Then he's potter. Because how else would you know? You would think. You would think maybe as early as possible, you have to start teaching him Shema.
But with an age of chinuch, why would you think?
Because you wouldn't know. So you're saying over here, once we're mentioning Noshim and Avadim, we're mentioning Ketanim, and we're also mentioning not only Krishma, but other mitzvahs as well. Again, different mitzvahs have different times. So when he's below the age of chinuch, then you're not chayev. But when he reaches the age of chinuch, then yes, you're chayev the Avadim. Uminat tefillin, they're also potter from tefillin, because a cotton usually doesn't know how to keep himself in the state that he has to wear tefillin. He has to be in particular that he shouldn't pass gas while he's wearing tefillin. You're not allowed to, and a cotton is not able to do that. So here Tosfos says that actually, here we're talking even a kid is of the age of chinuch, but he still isn't of the age of chinuch for that particular mitzvah, then he's still potter from tefillin. So that's the point, in other words. So there's different ages of chinuch for different mitzvahs. We know that in general nowadays we don't assume that we only wear tefillin by shachris because it's hard to keep the mental focus for them and whatever, and therefore unlike in the old days where they used to wear tefillin all day long. You also have for the same reason, even though in principle you can be mechanech a kid in wearing tefillin much earlier, in practice we only start 2 months before their bar mitzvah. With the exception, we know the Friedrich Rebbe was told by the Rebbe to start wearing them privately at age 11. So k'tanim are potter from tefillah and from Shema and from tefillin. The chayovin b'tefillah, on the other hand, a child is chayav b'tefillah because tefillah is asking rachmin from Hashem. So the chachamim were misakin it for women and to be mechanech children in it as well. Over mezuzah, they were also chayav to put up a mezuzah because not a mitzvah sets a shatman drama. And we're very kasamozin, and they're chayav invention for the same reason. The Gemara is going to ask why we need that. Obviously, if we know they're not a mitzvah sets a shatman drama, why do we think women are potters? So we'll see. This that Rashi is saying over here, that tefillah is midrabanan, is actually a very controversial thing. The Rambam learns that tefillah itself is daraisa. The basic chiyuv of tefillah, the Rambam learns, is daraisa. But you have to daven to Hashem at least once a day. But the fact that you have three tefillahs a day, and the fact that you have to have a certain nusach, whatever, that's all midrabanan. Whereas the Ramban and most other Rishonim learn that, including Rashi, learn that the whole concept of tefillah is Dirabban. Midaraisa, there's no, according to them, there's no mitzvah of davening at all.
According to this Gemara, I see.
Or, well, so that's the thing. Rashi would understand then, when we say chayovin b'tefillah, he says that it means Dirabbanon, given that it's only Dirabbanon, and when it comes to Dirabbanon anyway, even if we argue that it is a mitzvah seseh shazman grom, because you have particular times and day you need to daven, but the pture of mitzvah seseh shazman grom only applies to d'oraisa, not necessarily to Dirabbanon. And here, particularly anyway, since it's asking Hashem for rachmim, then the Chachamim found it appropriate to impose it on women and women and on children as well, and on the father being mechanical children. No, what was it, according to Rashi, the Rambam would understand that since the basic concept of tefillah is daraisa and a daraisa level, it's not a mitzvah seseh shazman grama. In that sense, it's like mezuzah and birkas hamazon. As long as you daven at some point during the day or night, then you're yotze, an amount of daraisa level. So therefore women are chayiv in it, just like they're chayiv in any mitzvah seseh shalom shazman grama.
How does
the
Rambam know that it's a mitzvah
to Rashi? Because the Pasuk says, you have actually, I think this is 3, says that it refers to davening. The Rambam understands that that's an actual limud, so therefore it's daraisa. Everybody else would say it's an asmata.
They don't touch the word.
They say, you know, yeah, it means davening, but it means it's an asmata. Okay, fine. So if we ask Kriyishma, isn't it obvious, Kriyishma Pshita, isn't it obvious when it comes to Kriyishma that women and Avodim are part of it? Mitzvah Seseh Shazman Groma. Who is Mitzvah Seseh Shazman Groma? You have only a certain time in the day and a certain time in the night when you can say Shema. B'chol Mitzvah Seseh Shazman Groma, Noshim Turis. We know as a general rule that women are part of some such thing. The answer is Ma'od Tema, Hoyo V'Ispa Ma'od Shemaim. You would think maybe Shema is different because you're accepting Hashem's kingship in it. Maybe it should be important enough to be Mechayev women in it. Kamash Malon, and therefore the Mishnah is telling us that not. With that said, though, that Amar brings that at least women should be saying the first pasuk of Kriyishma. Indeed, they should be accepting Malchus Shemayim on themselves, and I think later Achronim also add Baruch Shem, so that they should at least be doing that. They're not required up the Torah, as the Gemara is saying over here, but nevertheless, they're not obligated by saying Shema. And actually, now... Because it's a mitzvah seseh shazman grama, we're just saying. So they don't have to say the words of Shema. With that said, it is better to teach them to do at least the first pasuk of Shema and Baruch Shem. There is also, actually, it talks about in Shulchan Aruch, that there is also a mitzvah to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that one's not a mitzvah seseh shazman grama, because that applies both by day and by night. So either they would have to say the bracha emes v'yasiv or emes v'emuna in the morning or in the night, or if not, then they have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim some other way in order to be yotze that mitzvah. Okay. But as far as Shema itself, in principle, they're positive.
Okay. Is there any other way that they are obligated to receive all Malchus Shemaim?
Again, they're not obligated to say Shema. Obviously, they have to have Malchus Shemaim, but they don't have to say the words of Shema to be makabel it like the way men do. We said we have tefillin. We said the potter from tefillin. So again, the question is pshita. Tefillin is a mitzvah seseh shazman grama. Why would we think women are chayiv in it? The answer is Ma'udatema Hayuba Itkash Lamazuza. You would think like this. You have a hekish between tefillin and mezuzah, because the pasuk said we did in Kriyishma. And the next pasuk is Uchsavtim al mezuzah v'sacho v'sharecha. So you would think you have a hekish. So you would say they're chayev in mezuzah, which is not a mitzvah seseh shazman grama. Maybe the pasuk is implying that they're chayev in tefillin as well. No, kamash malon. Therefore, the Mishnah wants to tell us not like that. They're not chayev in tefillin. We said the chayovin b'tefillah, and by the way, why is it a given that they're chayiv in mezuzah? Actually, the Gemara in Menachos talks about they're in kedushin, talks about the other way around. So why don't we say if they're potter from tefillin, they're also potter from mezuzah because of the hekesh? And the answer is after mezuzah in b'hayim shemaya, we say l'man yubri yimechem b'mei b'neichem, and women need life just as much as men do. So therefore, obviously they must be chayiv in mezuzah. The pasuk is implying by putting those together that they're chayiv in mezuzah. And therefore, the only way would have been to say the chayiv and tefillin as well, but we're saying that not.
You could say tefillin is every day, and it's like once.
You put up a mezuzah, but you have an obligation every time you move into a house. In principle, if you were to move houses every day, you're chayiv and mezuzah every day. But you're right, you put it up once and then you leave it there until the next time you have to take it down for the sefer to check it, but it's still a constant mitzvah. The chayovin mitzvila, on the other hand, we said that women and avodim and ketanim are chayiv mitzvila. Again, as we said, derachmininu, because tefila is asking Hashem for rachmanus, and therefore it's appropriate for everybody, and therefore it's a responsibility on everybody. Maudatema, and the point is also, now Rashi is not Gurus this part, but Tosfos is, so we'll talk about it in a second. Maudatema, Holuksibo Erva Voita Batsaharoyim. You would think that since the Pasuk says in Tilim, in the evening and the morning and in the afternoon, Erev Avosu B'Tzahorayim, Asichah Be'emes, as in Pasuk in Kapitel Nun Hei, therefore, K'mitzvah Seseh Shazman Grama Dami, therefore, maybe we should consider Tefillah like a mitzvah Seseh Shazman Grama, and therefore, women should be Pasuk from it, Kamash Malon, therefore, we're saying that they're Chayim. Now, again, Rashi is not good at this. We don't need this. Tefillah is Derabbanon, so the whole question of Zman Grama or not Zman Grama is not relevant. Tosfos says we do have examples. Halal, for example, is a mitzvah sesem midrabbanan shazman grama, and women are potter from it. So therefore, Tosfos says, nevertheless, the Gemara still needed that. You would have thought, even though it's midrabbanan, it's a mitzvah sesem shazman grama, like halal, and therefore we're saying that nevertheless they're fine. Because you would have thought, because halal, you only have to say it certain times. Tefillah, you only have to say 3 times a day, so it is a mitzvah sesem midrabbanan shazman grama, and you would think it. Again, according to the Rambam, who says that tefillah is that again, according to the Rambam, who says that tefillah is daraisa, the point is that the point is that because it's daraisa and it's not mitzvah seseh shazman grama, because midaraisa you could daven any time during the day. Therefore, women are chayav. It's only midrabbanon that we have time. Okay. Then we said
so. The Sephardic women.
I don't know if it's the difference between Ashkenazim and Sephardim necessarily. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know if that's one of the things. Where we're saying in our mission, in any case, that women are chayiv in tefillah. What they're not chayiv necessarily to daven the entire Shemoneh Esrei 3 times a day like men are. They have an obligation to at least say some tefillah during the day. Okay. Then we said of a mezuzah. We said that women are chayiv in mezuzah. So again, the question is pshita. Maor tema. So you would think the other way around. Hoyu v'itkish l'Talmud Torah, because you have a hekish between mezuzah and Talmud Torah. In v'hoyim shemaya, v'limad kim osmas v'necham v'davavom, and the next pasuk because of chsabtam v'mezuzah v'secho v'sharach. So you would think just like women are potter from Talmud Torah, maybe also mezuzah women are potter. Kamash Malon, therefore the Mishnah is telling us that not, again, for the reason that I mentioned, Rashi quotes it over here from the Gemara and Kiddushin, that after all, since it continues, Man Yubu Yemechem, women need long life just as much as men do. They need the protection of the mezuzah, and they need the mitzvah of mezuzah, Okay. Then we said with Birkas HaMazon, we said women are chayv in Birkas HaMazon. So again, the question is, Pshita, isn't that obvious? It's not a mitzvah that's a shazman groma. Why should women be potter? The answer is Ma'ud Tema, because you would have thought like this. Hoyle, because you have a pasuk when Hashem is sending them on, Moshe tells them, "B'seis Hashem lachem be'erev baso lechol." In the evening, Hashem will give you meat to eat. The lechem baboker l'sbayan. In the morning, Hashem will be giving you bread, meaning man, to fill you up. So, in that sense, in other words, Moshe is telling them there are certain times of day that you're supposed to be eating meals. And in fact, you have Gemara and Yoma that says that before this happened, the Jewish people were like chickens. They just peck around. They just snack anytime. They had no concept of fixed meal time. You have to think about them. They've been slaves in the Mitzrayim for many, many years. You know, they're not giving lunch breaks. They're not giving dinner breaks or whatever. You know, they've got to grab a bit of food whenever they have a chance to. So therefore, so at this point, until Moshe tells them, you know what, there's a concept. You have to be in the Sudadish person. You have to have a time for breakfast, a time for dinner, et cetera. So once it says that, you would think mitzvah seseh shazman grama dummy. You would think maybe therefore benching should be considered a mitzvah seseh shazman grama. Kamash malon, and therefore we're saying it's not, and women are chayav in it. Okay. Let's talk about now another mitzvah that women are chayav in. Omer of Adabah Amen. Noshim chayavet v'kiddush hayom dvar Torah. Min of Torah, women are chayav in kiddush on Shabbos. Kiddush by night, that is. So the question is, am I? Why should they be chayav? Well, it's a mitzvah seseh shazman grama. Mitzvah seseh shazman grama. Uvuch, mitzvah seseh shazman grama, not from Torah. Omer Abayah says, you're right. What he means is midrabbanan. Midrabbanan, no chayiv. Omer le'rabba, what do you mean? What dvar Torah kama? Rabbi Adababa didn't just say that women are chayiv in Kiddush. He said they're chayiv dvar Torah as a matter of min ha-Torah. So what do you mean it's only midrabbanan? Va'oid kol mitzvah seseh nechayivin midrabbanan. Also, if you're going to use that logic, we should say the same thing about other mitzvah seseh shazman grama. We should say midaraisa women are potter from tefillin, midrabbanan no chayiv. Midaraisa women are potter, let's say from Krishna, and midrabbanan we're going to be chayiv. Then why would we do that only by Kiddush? Ela omar Rabba, so Rabba says no. The reason why women are chayiv in Kiddush, it is in fact minat Torah, like Rav Adaba Abba said, and the reason for that is like this. Omar kra zocher v'shomer. We have in the Dibros in our Parashat Dibros, as they're given in Parashat Yisroel, it says Zocher es Yom HaShabbos Echad. When the Aseret HaDibros are repeated in Parashat Vaschanan, it says it's Shomer es Yom HaShabbos Echad. And now those two things mean respectively like this. Zocher means to mention Shabbos. Among other things, it includes the mitzvah of mentioning Shabbos verbally by saying Kiddush or saying Vayichul or whatever. And then you have Shomer means guard Shabbos by not doing the malachos of Shabbos. So by putting them together, by saying that the Shomer and the Zocher means kol sheyeshne b'shmira yeshne b'zchira, means anybody who is subject to the din of Shomer is also required to keep zechira. The pasuk says Zocher and Parshas Yisrael and Shomer and Parshas Vaschanan, the two repetitions of the Aseret HaDibros. So here we're talking about Zocher in one place and Shomer in the other. So we learn that there's a similarity between them. Whoever has to keep Shomer has to keep Zocher. Vahani Noshi, now when it comes to women, Hoyol Ve'ifnu B'Shmira, they are obligated in guarding Shabbos, and we know that because we have a general rule that when it comes to Mitzvot Loiseh there, there's no difference between whether there's Man Groma or not. Either way, Mitzvot Loiseh Seh Shaz Man Groma or not Zman Groma, women are Chayev. Therefore, women are chayev in, they're also to do any malachos on Shabbos, just like men. So once they're chayev in Shomer, then it means, isnu b'zchira, then the concept of zchira applies to them also. So on a daraisa level, they are chayev in, on a daraisa level, they are chayev in Kiddush. Because we have Zocher and Shomer are compared. Therefore, whoever Shomer applies to Zocher, even though it's a mitzvah that Shazman Grama applies to. Since women are chayiv and shomer, they're chayiv and zocher.
So if we do being an ab, we could apply that to anything else.
No, because here only it says zocher and shomer. It's only here where you have shomer and you also have zocher. Does it work? It doesn't go to other cases. So that means, in other words, women are actually chayiv and kiddush medaraisa. Now in principle, then that should mean whenever two people are chayiv and a mitzvah to the same degree, one can be motzi the other one. So in principle, that would mean that a woman could be motzi a man in kiddush. However, the Alter Rebbe says in Shulchan Aruch, let's not do that because you don't want people to get careless with mitzvahs and think that kiddush is something unimportant or something like that.
So
when they're on their own, they have to make kiddush. Yeah. And also, there's an interesting point that I heard about this a day or two ago. First of all, we have to discuss what do we need to do to be yotze kiddush? We know we have to make kiddush on wine normally, but is that actually required daraisa to use wine, or is it that daraisa you just need to mention Shabbos verbally and only midrabanan you require wine? So one way of looking at it, the Minchas Chinuch points out, what do we do when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos? We obviously don't make Kiddush on wine, but we still have to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Zocher at the end of Shabbos HaKadosh. So we say Vayichulu after davening, and with that we're Yotza on the minimum Daraisa level. So they say when the Miri Yeshiva and the various other yeshivas escaped to Japan at the beginning of in the middle of World War II, so they developed a huge shaila, which day is Shabbos? Like this, is Japan on the same side of the dateline, the halacha, the international dateline that you can find on maps? Yeah, Japan is on the same side as Israel, and of Europe. But is that true al pi Torah, al pi halacha, or not? Famously, the Chazon Ish held that not. He held that, to oversimplify things without getting into all the details, he held that the dateline goes along the coast of Asia. So therefore, Japan being a bunch of islands off the coast is not included. So he held that Shabbos over there is actually a day later. According to him, Shabbos in Japan would be what the locals call Sunday. So what happened? So the result was, and you had other Rabbanim at that time argued with that. Abba Yemazei, Yavis Machlokas are still ongoing and affects places like Japan and Hawaii and various other places in the middle of the Pacific. So what they did was they kept Shabbos on Friday night and Saturday, the local Friday night and Saturday, but they also, what are we going to do? So, but they also, they would be careful on the local Sunday not to do at least Malachas Daraisa to be on the safe side. The question is, what are they going to do as far as Kiddush? You can't make Kiddush if it's not Shabbos. You'd be saying a bracha l'batala. So what they would do is they could say to each other. So one part besides that they could say vayichulu. They could say to each other good Shabbos, and that's acknowledging the kedusha of Shabbos, and that at least on a minimum daraisa level accomplishes. So they say in that connection, so now you come up with an issue based on that. If you have a husband and wife, and the husband says by Chulu and Shul, he's been Yotzeh Kiddush on a Daraisa level. Meanwhile, his wife has not, so she hasn't. How is he able to be Motzi her? We're saying in the Gemara here that she's obligated Daraisa and he's only obligated Darabanan. So they say an interesting chat. When you get home, you say Good Shabbos to your wife. She replies Good Shabbos. And therefore, she's also accomplished it on a minimum Daraisa level. Now, she's only Chayav Darabanan. You're also only Chayav Darabanan. Good. So you go and make Kiddush for her. On the way, Ravina LaRava, getting back to the Gemara. Ravina asks Rava, okay, we're saying in the Mishnah that women are chayev in Birchas HaMazon. On what level? On the way, Ravina LaRava, Noshim in Birchas HaMazon, Daraisa or Dirabonon? Are women chayev in Birchas HaMazon? On what level? Daraisa or Dirabonon? The question, Lamai Nachimina, what's the practical difference? The answer is, La'apuki Rabin Yedei Chevosan. The difference is, can women be motzi other people? Can women be motzi other people with benching? In general, when it comes to benching, I mean, nowadays, you know, anybody who knows how to just benches on their own. Yeah, and even when we make a mezuman, technically, when we learn in the seventh parak, when we talk about mezuman, we're going to talk about that really the original way was that only the mezaman would say the brachas and everybody would answer amen. Nowadays, we don't do that. We say rabbi tamei on benching and the rest of the thing, and then everybody benches together, and the one who's leading the mezuman just says the ends of the brachas out loud, so everybody can answer amen. But the question is, in principle, you could say Birkas HaMazon, and the other person answers Amen to each of the brachas, and the Yotza on the grounds of Shemeya Ka'ina. So the question is, can a woman be Motzi a man? E Amrit the Shlema Daraisa. If you say that women are Chayev on a Daraisa level, good. Osi Daraisa, Omafet Daraisa. She's Chayev Daraisa. So are men. So therefore, women could be Motzi men. But if you say that they're only chayev drabbanan, habish einim mechuyev b'davar, then on a daraisa level, women are not chayev in benching. Anybody who's not mechuyev in something on a daraisa level can't be motzi somebody else. So that's the question: are women chayev in benching daraisa or drabbanan? Now, what's the hava amina to say that they shouldn't be chayev daraisa? Rashi says the reason is because what does the pasuk say? Al ha'oras ha'toyva asher nasalach. You should bench Hashem for the good land that He gave you. Women don't get a portion in Eretz Yisrael. Their husbands, their brothers, their sons get portions in Eretz Yisrael, but a woman doesn't get a portion. Even when it comes to Bnois Tzlofchad, Rashi says the fact is they're only getting by virtue of their father. Their father was one of the men who came out of Mitzrayim, so therefore they get his portion after he passed away. But because a woman yashins from her father, because a woman can yashin from her father if she has no brothers. But that's Rashi. Tosfos actually says that's not the reason. I mean, if you're going to say that, you could ask the same thing about Kohen and Levium. Kohen and Levium don't have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael either. So therefore, Tosfos says no. The reason is different. The reason why the Gemara thinks that maybe women are chayev in benching only derabanan and not deraisa is because in benching we say al bris chashachasamtev v'sareinu val teros chashlimantanu. Women don't have a bris and they don't have Torah. But they're not chayev in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. They're not chayev in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah as such. They need to know Torah in order to know what to do and what not to do. But they're not chayev in Talmud. They don't have the mitzvah of shinantam levanecha and the mitzvah of the limantam mitzvah and learning Torah themselves. They don't have it. And they don't have a bris either. So therefore, the Gemara is thinking that maybe therefore they're only chayev d'rabbanan. So that's the question. Are women chayev in benching d'araisa or d'rabbanan? Toshma. So what's the din? Toshma. We learn in a brisa, be'emes omru, in truth, the Chachamim said, whenever we say be'emes omru, it means that it's an accepted halacha, even halacha l'moshe mitzvah. Ben mevarech l'aviv, a child who's below bar mitzvah age, is able to say birkas hamazon for his father. Let's say his father doesn't know the words of benching, so the son can say it word for word, and the father will answer amen. The eved mevarech l'rabbi, an eved knani, can say the brachas for his master, and the same thing, the master will answer amen. The isha mevarechas l'baila, and a woman can make birkas hamazon for her husband, and again, he answers amen. Aval amru chachamim, but chachamim said it's not good to do it that way. A curse should come on a person that his wife or his children have to say the brachas for him, like he himself is such an amaoret that he can't be bothered to learn the brachas, and he needs to have his wife or his son, his wife or his child know more than he does. Anyway, the point is, So what do we see from that? Iyam at Mishlema Doraisa. So therefore, obviously, shouldn't we be able to prove from this that women are chayav in Birkas Hamazon Doraisa? If you say that they're chayav Doraisa, good. Osi Doraisa, Umapa Doraisa. She's chayav Doraisa, so is he. Therefore, she can be mostly him, and he'll answer Amen. Eli Amit Rabbanon, but if you say she's only chayav Rabbanon, what do you mean? Osi Rabbanon, Umapa Doraisa? What do you mean? How could she, who's chayav only Rabbanon, be mostly him, who's chayav Doraisa? Evidently, it must be that she herself is chayav daraisa also. That would answer the question. But the Gemara says, no, v'li taimeich, nu, and according to your own svara, what about cotton? Whatever you said, you mentioned a woman or a cotton. Cotton b'chiyo b'hu. A child below by mitzvah is certainly not chayav in birkas hamazon daraisa. Children aren't chayav in any mitzvah daraisa. So therefore, so if we see that the cotton is able to be mostly his father, even though the cotton is only chayav midrabanan mitzvah chinuch, then obviously that means that the woman could also be chayav only midrabanan. Aye, then the question is, so how are they mostly their father or their husband if he's chayav daraisa and they're only chayav midrabanan? Now, ela hocha mayaskinan, because what could we be talking about over here? Kugan sha'ocho shi'ora midrabanan. Suppose that the father or the husband, the man of the household, only ate a shear that makes him ate a shear that makes him chayiv in benching only drabanan. Therefore, d'asi drabanan or mafik drabanan. Good. So she's chayiv drabanan. He's also the wife is chayiv drabanan. Let's say the child is also chayiv drabanan. The father or the husband is also chayiv drabanan. Good. So then drabanan. Yeah. So in other words, the idea is like this: the Torah tells us we are chalta of the savata. When you eat and you're satisfied, then you're after at Hashem al-Kabbah. Which means daraisa, you chayav in benching only if you ate enough to be full. Midrabanan, as the Gemara is going to mention now, that you have a concept that if you eat less than that, a kazayas or a kabeta, according to the different opinions, then you chayav in benching. So therefore, if you ate only a kazayas or a kabeta, then you chayav in benching only midrabanan. So therefore, if the man of the household did that, he ate a kazayis or kabeis, as the case may be, and now he needs to bench the rabbanon, but he doesn't know how to bench, so his wife, who is chayiv in benching the rabbanon, can be mostly, if we assume that she's chayiv only the rabbanon, can say the brachas, and he'll answer amen, and she'll be mostly him. It's not the right thing to do, but it would work. But if he had eaten enough to be full, then it wouldn't work, because now he's chayiv the daraisa, whereas she's only chayiv the rabbanon. So the Gemara has left the question open. The halacha is like that. The halacha is we do say that women's chiyuv in benching may be only drabanan, and therefore they can't be motzi. Therefore they can't be motzi a man. Speaking of this fact that drabanan you have a lesser amount for benching than you do daraisa, dorash Rav Avira. So Rav Avira gave a drasha as follows. Used to give a drasha as follows. Zimnin amalam shmei de Rav Ami, the zimnin amalam shmei de Rav Asi. Sometimes he would say it over in Rav Ami's name, sometimes he would say it over in Rav Asi's name. He had learned from both of them, he had heard it from both of them, but I think Ben Yehoyada says the reason why sometimes he'd say in the name of one and sometimes in the other is because one of them was his main Rebbe, but the other one taught him more deeply or whatever, and therefore, or something like that, or one of them was a greater Talmud Chacham, the other one was his Rabbi Mubak, so he's always having the question which one is more important. So sometimes he'd pick one, sometimes the other. Anyway, what was the drasha? Oh, yeah. Amru Malachi Asharas Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malachim asked Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Kosur B'Serasecha Asher Lo Yisafonim V'Layikach Shel Kad. It's said in your own Torah that Hashem doesn't show favoritism and he doesn't take bribes. Yisafonim literally means to lift up the face. But it means to show favoritism. V'Haloi Asa Noisei Ponim L'Yisrael. So the Malachim say to Hashem, don't you show favoritism to the Jewish people, just give Yisa Hashem Ponim Elacha. As the Apostle says, Hashem will lift up his face to you. So actually, in the Gemara at the end of Nidah, so we had this a few weeks ago, talks about this. It's one of the questions that the Anshe Alexandria asked Rabbi Yeshua, and he answered it. He answered that there's a difference between before and after Gzar Din. There's a difference between before Hashem decided the verdict versus not. That beforehand, Hashem can, so to speak, show favoritism to the Jewish people and not judge them harshly. But after the Gzar Din, then already it's too late. Then it goes according to Midas Adin. But here the Gemara gives a different answer. So Hashem says to the Malachim, "B'chi loy es aponim Yisrael." What do you think? I shouldn't show favoritism. I shouldn't lift up my face to the Jewish people. Look at what they do. Shekasavdi lahem b'tzara. I wrote for them in the Torah. V'achalta v'savalta v'rachta Hashem alakecha. That only when you eat and you're satisfied, then you bench Hashem. V'hem medachtik amalatma not kazayis v'ad kaveta. They're medachtik on themselves. even if they ate far less than that, even if they ate only a kezayis or a kebesa, because you have a machlokas, Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, Rav Meir says a kezayis, Rav Yehuda says a kebesa, only then you chayev the bench. The halacha is there that it is a kezayis, you already chayev the bench. The halacha is like Rav Meir over there. But we see that the Jewish people are medactic on themselves to even bench Hashem when they ate far less than the amount they need to be full. So therefore Hashem says, like, so to speak, the Jewish people deserve to have me show them extra favor to them, to show them extra favor, because we see how careful they are with my covenant. In Likutei Torah, on this pasuk, actually, in Parshas Nasai, the Alter Rebbe discusses why is the Nesias Panim appropriate specifically because of this business with benching. And the gist of the explanation is that Panim refers to Chochmah, the Chochmah law. When a person eats and is full, and then therefore they have enough to keep their neshama alive, to keep the neshama in the body for a substantial amount of time, then they automatically are able to connect with Hashem's chachma. You don't need any nesias panim for that. But when a person is eating less than that, then you need, like, you have nesias panim, means, so to speak, Hashem has to go beyond chachma to reach a level of a lakus where what we do on earth over here doesn't matter as much, and then accept it on that basis, and then join us together with him on that basis. That's the nesias panim. That specifically happens when what?
It's an acknowledgement.
In other words, that like this, you would have this normal operating procedure, and then there's what you have to go beyond the usual way of doing things. Instead of going to Chochmah, you have to go beyond that. You have to go up to higher levels of Lakus, and Hashem connects us with him that way.
Okay.